Alright, we are going into the doors of space and time. Into the past. Into the ancient past, into the days of the Bible. To know all those things that they don't tell you in that their normal church system. You gotta chip away at stuff. You gotta look into the ancient times and see what they wrote.
So there's no sound.
Ah, all right. Well, let's restart that then. We'll fix it. So we're going to be reading the Apocrypha, and we're going to check into everything. King and Queen Basham. Hey, hobby tired chicks. Good to see you, brother. Who can tell me what we talked about last time? We were reading Ezra chapters 1 through 4. And kind of getting into it, and it was a lot of crazy, a lot of silly. But it was also a little bit serious, because, you know, the fact is, nobody seems to really know about this book, which is not good, you know? We need to at least know what it is. And I'm being outdone by some flat earthers, and I just ain't gonna have that happen. No siree, Bob. Ain't no flat earther gonna just go past us that fast. They know more about these books than we do, because the thing about flat earth is that it makes you think in weird ways. Really weird ways. So, we're gonna just at least try to know a little bit about what's happening with this stuff. And indeed, our sound is not working on Fjarsberg. I think I know why. I think it's the, This phone has been abused. It has been dropped too many times. So, the last section that we read was kind of a contest. It has to do with the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. They kind of went through all the different stages of Israel being taken over, the prophet's warning against the sins, against the country leaving their first love, and there's just a lot of, there was something about wieners. we kind of just joked around a little bit. But the purpose and aim and goal of this show is actually to hopefully learn something and to bring people together around that. And what we do behind the scenes is we're like nonstop just trying to bring, we're producing, we're making phone calls, we're trying to organize new projects, and trying to have a family here. That's the main, most important part. Trying to have a family, right, honey?
Yes.
You want to say something? How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
So, what's been on your heart today while we get Facebook up and rolling?
Martinis.
Martinis?
Mm-hmm.
Again?
Yes, it's martini time.
Well, in that case, everybody just get your martini and get your martini sunglasses. Because we're going to be talking about martinis of the spirit. How do you spell Apocrypha?
You
I always
forget
with a Y. No, that's the wrong spelling. Oh, well. Okay, hopefully people can hear us there now. Let's retest the sound. So thank you very much, and let's just jump right in, guys. What do you say?
Okay.
Do you have any questions about the Apocrypha? Please don't ask them, because actually we're still learning.
What is Apocrypha?
What's an Apocrypha? And how do you get better if you find that you've got an Apocrypha?
It's just one step above arachnophobia.
Is it a phobia? Does it have to do with the apocalypse? I always think it means apocalypse. I always feel like Apocrypha is somehow connected to apocalypse, but it's not. The apocryphal books, usually you're going to find those books in your Catholic Bibles. So everybody get your Catholic Bibles. Don't be ashamed if you have a Catholic Bible. Ain't nothing wrong with that. All of us have been there at some point. I went to a Catholic church for a while. We've all got some Catholic blood in us somewhere. And there's a lot of extra biblical books out there that we've looked at. We've read through a lot of Jasher, a lot of Enoch. Deorthosis calls it the Deuterocanon. Very good. Excellent stuff.
Ooh. Sponsor.
I wish I knew how to deal with the Deuterocanon. Books written between Ezra and the Christ. All right, very good. I can see why they would leave out some of this, just as some of it doesn't seem extremely necessary to, like, maybe for everybody to be reading all the time. But then there are people who say that it is a conspiracy that we don't have these. So, Oh, somebody likes your glasses, honey.
Thank you.
All right, so this is Ezra, chapter 5. After this were the principal men of the families chosen according to their tribes to go up with their wives and sons and daughters, with their men servants and maid servants and their cattle. And Darius sent with them 1,000 horsemen till they had brought them back to Jerusalem safely and with musical instruments. And their brethren played, and he made them go up together with them. So this is like the rebuilding of the wall and the rebuilding of Jerusalem, and it's a happy time. And they go through all the names of everybody. We're going to skip over that part. And these are they of Jewry that came up from the captivity, where they dwelt as strangers, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, I think I spelled it wrong, or pronounced it wrong, had carried them away into Babylon. And they returned into Jerusalem and the other parts of the Jewry, every man to his own city, who came with Zorobabel, with Jesus, Nehemiah, and Zacharias, and a bunch of other guys. And there, it gives you a lot of the names and who the sons were and, you know, endless names and genealogies. Wow, that's a lot of names and a lot of wow. We're not going to do that. Come you on. Can just go to LibriVox and have somebody... some really sad soul sit and read every single one of those names and butcher them. Thermaleth and Thilersas.
Charathalar.
You know, you could actually get, if you're like the kind of type that likes to name, you know, Bible names for your kids, you could totally use like these books. I've never heard of Thermaleth before.
That's a nice name.
Could be a good guy. He could have been a bad guy. We don't know. But probably pretty good. And the priests that usurped the office of the priesthood and were not found, the sons of Obdiah, the sons of Akaz, sons of Addis. So names and names and more names than you could ever name. And there were gathered unto them out of the other nations of the land, and they erected the altar upon his own place. Because all the nations of the land were at enmity with them and oppressed them. And they offered sacrifices according to the time and burnt offerings to the Lord both morning and evening. And they held the Feast of Tabernacles as it is commanded by the law. So basically the Jewish religion is coming back, man. It's like totally like, dude. And they were like having feasts and having, you know, all they that had made any vow to God began to offer sacrifices to God. You know, the temple is back in business. The foundations of the house of God were laid, you know. They appointed the Levites from over 20 years old. Then stood up Jesus. Wow, Jesus is in this already. No, it's a different Jesus. And a lot of people getting into the workmen building the temple. So very, very great. We are skipping ahead all the way to verses 60. They're singing songs of thanksgiving and praising the Lord according as David, the king of Israel, had ordained. And it was just a very happy big party, man. So, but, what was going on? Would you like to read, honey? Mm-hmm. Can you see? Let me move this.
I can see it.
Yeah.
But many with trumpets and joy shouted with loud voice, insomuch that the trumpets might not be heard for the weeping of the people, yet the multitude sounded marvelously. So it was heard far off. Wherefore, when the enemies of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin heard it, they came to know that the noise of the trumpets, what the noise of the trumpets should mean. And they perceived that they were of the captivity, did build the temple unto the Lord God of Israel. So they went to Zerubbabel and Jesus and to the chief of the families and said unto them, we will build together with you, for we likewise as ye do obey your Lord and do sacrifice unto him from the days of Adzbarath, the king of the Assyrians, who brought us hither. Then Zerubbabel and Jesus and the chief of the families of Israel said to them, it is not for us and you to build together an house unto the Lord our God.
We alone will build unto the Lord of Israel, according as Cyrus the king of the Persians hath commanded us. But the heathen of the land, lying heavy upon the inhabitants of Judea and holding them straight, hindered their building. Uh-oh. These are like the anti-wall people. By their secret plots and popular persuasions and commotions in the Democratic Party, they hindered the finishing of the building all the time that King Cyrus lived. So they were hindered from building for the space of 2 years until the reign of Darius. So we're moving it at Ezra chapter 6. So they had the ability to do it, but it was very difficult for them to get anything done with all these heathens. Diorthosis says it was a conspiracy by the Jewish council around 100 AD to fight against the spread of Messianic Judaism and other charismatic movements. Wow. Anyone got any input on this? Please feel free to do so. The Ebionites and other Messianics were using the Deuterocanon to convert Jews. So they drew up a criteria to determine orthodoxy. Huh. The book must be, number one, written in Hebrew, number two, written in Israel area, and number three, quoted by a recognized prophet afterwards. None of the Deuterocanon met these criteria. Fascinating. So, are you saying that all of these books are, like, unnecessary and, like, just totally not a part, like, in conjunction with Scripture? Because that would be, like, a big boo-boo no-no if you think about it. I would still recommend that people know at least what's in there. And that's what we're fascinated to do. That's also why we were reading Jasher. Hello, Colin James McIntosh. Blessings upon y'all. Thank you for popping in here with us. And we're going to just continue through this. And any other comments, feel free to share the comments. And we're reading from thesacredtext.com. Well, it's interesting you mentioned about this conspiracy, because actually now people are trying to use this to support the flat earth argument. But what we're fascinated to get into is in the second book of Ezra, apparently there's a lot of information about the New Jerusalem. So I want to know about that. All right. Do you have any comments, honey?
I think they have the Dead Sea Scrolls on this website, too.
Yeah, they've got a lot of the Dead Sea Scrolls on this website, yep. For sure. Yep. Yep, yep. But these are older, or at least these were around, they were using these way before the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. The Dead Sea Scrolls are older than Jesus. Like, that's way hundreds of years before Jesus. Yeah. Colin James McIntosh, you read Jasher? It takes forever to read that, man. How did you do it? All right.
You sleepy?
You want some coffee?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Thank you.
I'm hogging all the coffee here. I think we still have some more. We're basically like, we've been going through the battles, guys. Working and fighting and building the wall. the laying the foundation for the temple, for you guys, for the creation of just what this whole fringe network and spirit war and spirit force is meant to be. There's a lot going on. And hey, Mr. Ford has popped in here for a second. Good to see you, man. So pray for us. And so they're going to continue to, they began to build the house of the Lord. The prophets of the Lord beginning, being with them, sorry. At the same time came unto them Sisinnes. They always said he was kind of a sissy, but the governor of Syria and Phoenice, with Sathrabuzanes and his companions, and said unto him, by whose appointment do you build this house and this roof and perform all these other things? And who are the workmen that perform these things? Nevertheless, the elders of the Jews obtained favor, because the Lord had visited the captivity. And they were not hindered from building until such a time as signification was given unto Darius concerning them, and an answer received. So, the copy of the letters which Sisinnes, governor of Syria, blah blah blah, and their companions wrote and sent unto Darius, to King Darius, greetings. You want to read the letter? From This is from the king of Syria to Darius. I don't think they're going to be very happy.
Let all things be known unto our Lord the King, that being come into the country of Judea, and enter into the city of Jerusalem, we found in the city of Jerusalem the ancients of the Jews that were of the captivity. Building a house unto the Lord, great and new, of hewn and costly stones, and the timber already laid upon the walls. And those works are done with great speed, and the work goeth on prosperously in their hands, and with all glory and diligence is it made.
So, man, I wonder if the third temple is going to be built, like, really fast, too, you know?
You want to read it more? Hey, Joshua.
Then we asked these elders, saying, by whose commandment build ye this house and lay the foundation of these works? Therefore, to the intent that we might give knowledge unto thee by writing, we demanded of them who were the chief doers, and we required of them the names in writing of their principal men. So they gave us this answer, we are the servants of the Lord which made heaven and earth.
That's a really good title. Hey guys, which of you out there in the chat are the servants of the Lord who made heaven and earth? That's pretty good. All right. Colin read the whole thing daily by bit, the book of Joshua. Very good. Diorthosis says, Christians should expose themselves to whatever writings the Holy Spirit draws them into. Yeah, thank you for that, brother. I just feel drawn to this. I think that's a brother. Your icon's kind of small, but... just the fact that, like, this is out there and it's a point of contention, and it's very key, like, to a lot of people's thinking. So we should at least be aware of it. We're not saying that we believe everything in this. So far, I haven't seen anything that goes against Scripture. Third temple's been built. Like a Lego set. They just got to put it together. Wow. So watch them, man. As soon as they've got that land, boom, you're going to see the third temple just be like, whoop. It's like, wow, we got a third temple. Like, probably in like a matter of months, they'll be able to build it, maybe faster. Wow. So, it is a time of great change, my brethren. And all the other shows, and everyone is talking about the news and Trump and politics, and even Christian teaching, which is important. I mean, you guys should tune into the Fringe Radio Network. We're going to have a live stream on there. So sometime if you, like, you're going through a battle and you don't know what to listen to, we're going to put a 24-hour live stream of the newest content from the Fringe and some of the better shows that we've done from the past, and some sermons. And if you guys have any recommendations of things that we could feature there, we're going to try to build up our live 24-hour stream to be a kind of a lighthouse for people, to be educated about what is happening, but also to be connected through this network, through, you know, prayer and constantly the speaking of the truth, but not necessarily just to get numbers and talking about the news and what's hot right now. It's all about building you up in your holy faith and your identity being a servant of the Lord, which made heaven and earth, not necessarily Baptist or whatever. I mean, it's fine if you're a Baptist, but, you know, we might have to become Baptist to, like, get a job with the church somewhere. I don't know. What denomination... I thought I silenced that. What denominations do we have listening tonight, if anybody out there is a denomination? Don't worry, we ain't gonna judge you none. We love all the denominations.
Denomination.
We sure do. We love you. All right. Let us know. Well, they've got the Red Bull, right? They've got the Red Bull. Red Bull. Can't believe I never thought of that. Yes, Colin, we'll get you on eventually. We just, you know, we're doing this just as like a last minute kind of little thing. We need to get things organized before we can really have good guests on. And we don't want to do it half. What's the Christian word for assed? Half-assed. I don't know. We'll just...
Subpar.
Oh, yes, the subpar. Thank you, dear. My wife always saves me. Would you like to continue the letter?
Okay.
Her voice is so pretty. From verse 18.
And the holy vessels of gold and silver that Nebuchadnezzar had carried away out of the house at Jerusalem and had set them in his own temple... Those Cyrus, the king, brought forth again out of the temple at Babylon, and they were delivered to Zerubbabel and to Sanabasaris, the ruler, with commandment that he should carry away the same vessels and put them in the temple of Jerusalem, and that the temple of the Lord should be built in this place. Then the same Sanabasaris, being come hither, laid the foundations of the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, and from that time to this being still a building, it is not yet fully ended.
So this is the letter. I'll continue. Now therefore, if it seem good unto the king, let search be made among the records of King Cyrus. And if it be found that the building of the house of the Lord at Jerusalem hath been done with the consent of King Cyrus, and if our Lord the king be so minded, let him signify unto us thereof. Then commanded King Darius to seek among the records at Babylon, and so at Ecbatane, the palace, which is in the country of Media, there was found a roll within which these things were recorded. In the first year of the reign of Cyrus, King Cyrus commanded... See, these guys are like investigative, like... They're trying to dig up the dirt, you know. They're trying to delegitimize Jerusalem and the people of God as they're trying to build up their country. So, in the first year of the reign of Cyrus, King Cyrus commanded that the house of the Lord at Jerusalem should be built again, where they do sacrifice with continual fire, whose height shall be 60 cubits, and the breadth 60 cubits, 3 rows of hewn stones, 1 row of new wood of that country, and the expenses thereof would be given out, so Mexico will pay for the wall. I mean, the house of King Cyrus will pay for it. And that the holy vessels of the house of the Lord, both of gold and silver, that, I'll just say his name right, Nebuchadnezzar, took out of the house at Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, should be restored to the house at Jerusalem and be set in the place where they were before. And also he commanded that Sisinnes, the governor of Syria, and Phoenicia, and Sathrabuzanes, and their companions, and those which were appointed rulers in Syria and Phoenicia, should be careful not to meddle with the place, but suffer Zerubbabel, the servant of the Lord, and the governor of Judea, and the elders of the Jews, to build the house of the Lord in that place. I have commanded also to have it built up whole again, and that they look diligently to help those that be of the captivity of the Jews till the house of the Lord be finished. And then out of the house of Celosyria and Phoenicia, a portion carefully to be given those men for the sacrifices of the Lord, that is to Zerubbabel the governor, for bullocks, rams, and lambs, and also corn, salt, wine, oil, and video games, all those gifts that were continually every year without further question, according as the priests that be in Jerusalem shall signify, to be daily spent, that offerings may be made to the Most High God for the king and for his children, and that they may pray for their lives. And he commanded that anybody that transgresses or makes light of anything spoken or written, out of his house should a tree be taken, and he thereon be hanged, and all his goods seized for the king. So, yeah, it's not a really strict command, right? Yeah, whatever, no big deal. Yeah. The Lord, therefore, whose name is there called upon, utterly destroy every king and nation that stretcheth out his hand to hinder or in damage that house of the Lord in Jerusalem. I, Darius the king, have ordained that, according unto these things, it be done with diligence. Whoa, bros. Jeff Manti has a comment. Do you want to read Jeff Manti's comment, my dear?
Jeff Manti says, I believe the temple will be built north of the Dome of the Rock at a place called the Dome of the Tablets or the Dome of the Spirits. What do you think? What do you think, honey?
I think that there's a lot of possibility with this building of the temple, and that's why we should pay attention to these works. Chapter 7 is very short. Yeah, there's a lot going on right now. I mean, Iran and North Korea and just the whole temple thing is just, it's connected to all the other things that are happening in the world. So that's why we need to pay attention to this Bible. I base everything off of this. Then I look at other information. Then I come back to the Bible and to faith and to some of the crazy things that we've dealt with. And we've received different messages from people that were like, tell us about the cults. And so we're going to talk about the cults. And we were just listening to something about Bethel, trying to expose Bethel. We weren't really convinced, were we?
Did you? No.
It's kind of like a clickbait thing. It had like 500,000 viewers. I was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
She kind of immature.
She didn't have concrete stuff there.
An ex-Bethel person, a disgruntled Bethel member. I mean, I'm not interested in joining some kind of big school of healing and prophecy and ministry because there is a lot of hoopla when you do that. And hey, at least they tried to make one.
I think they would. I mean, I would suspect that they would have to kick people out. I mean, like,
right.
You get like all kinds of like psychopaths and like bipolar schizophrenic people.
Exactly.
I mean, not that they're like mostly made up of those kind of people, but I think that some of them will be like that, and you may have to, you do have to like kick people out of ministry if they're being too off their rocker.
Well, that girl should start her own YouTube channel and go out and you know, try praying with people and witnessing to people. And I mean, this is the thing. Everybody's waiting for some ministry to discover them. And didn't you go to some church where somebody was like, oh, I see angels around you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. She said that they like love bombed her there, which is a common trait of cults, I think, is what the cult, right? Is that something they do?
Nobody ever love bombed me. I was like the little, hey guys, can I come join the cult? Kind of thing. But I don't need other people to tell me if there's angels around me. You know? What you need is to seek out the truth yourself and seek the Lord and seek angels and just be that, you know, be it already.
I think that thing just went off.
Yeah, we need to get some new technology going here. Actually, we could turn this one on, but
somebody said, I'm bipolar. What's wrong with that? I wasn't trying to diss bipolar people. I just think that, you know, you have to have a certain level of emotional centeredness, I think, in order to be able to give to people in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. You know what? For people who are bipolar, like, sometimes exercise helps. Sometimes having a regular schedule and diet can help. There's a lot of things that, you know, bipolar, I don't really believe in just people, like, completely being bipolar unless for, like, very specific circumstances. Sometimes it's drugs. Sometimes it's lifestyle choices that are easily rectifiable. You know, you go across the world, and a lot of it is just actually deep things that need to be taken care of in your life. But we are in a war, and we are, you know, facing demons, and you can have good and bad days, and there can also be situations that need to be rectified in your life that you can just blame it on, like, well, I have I just emotionally feel like this for no reason. Well, there's probably a reason deep down if you really, like, look. And the thing is, it doesn't matter. We're still going forward. We still, like, that's why it's so good to come back to the Word, so that you're not just, like, always held captive by your emotions or whatever, however you feel that day. It's like, you sometimes, and we were talking about this earlier, it's like sometimes you feel faith and you feel inspired and you met an angel or you saw an incredible vision, and other times it's just dry and you're like, where's God? I don't remember what happened. And it doesn't change reality. Like, reality and doing the right thing and not treating people horribly or, like, forsaking your faith in God, that's really important. And we need to work with people like that, who aren't going to turn around and be like, you're a done gone devil, just because they're having a bad day. Hey, Sherylite Olson, thanks for popping back in. I don't know what happened. Our Facebook froze again. Rene Dija says, the disciple Stephen got stoned. I was just reading that last night. For being against the temple, saying the Most High doesn't live in temples made with hands. I believe we are the temple of God. Amen. But the Jews are going to build this last temple because the Antichrist is going to show up and he's going to deceive the world using that temple, so watch out. Hello, Abigail. We love you too. Bless you. You are wonderful. All right, let's continue reading this. This is chapter 7, really short. So, the governor of Celesyria and Phoenice, Sisinnes, and Satrabuzanes, with their companions, following the commandment of King Darius, did very carefully oversee the holy works, assisting the ancients of the Jews and governors of the temple. So that letter wasn't actually that negative. I was just kind of expecting it to be. But it looks like now everything is going the right way for the temple to be built. And they finished these things by the commandment of the Lord God of Israel and with the consent of Cyrus, Darius, Trump, and Artaxerxes, kings of Persia. And thus...
Oh, you said that well.
Artaxerxes?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you. I guess I read this kind of stuff often. Or I used to, at least. I'm kind of getting rusty here, so... I'm reading this for me too, guys, okay? I need this. And thus was the Holy House finished in the 23rd day of the month Adar, in the 6th year of Darius, king of the Persians, and they all threw a holy hand grenade to celebrate. And the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites and the others, were of the captivity that were added unto them, did according to the things written in the book of Moses. And to the dedication, they offered lots of sacrifices, according to all the tribes. And they talk a little bit about the Levites arrayed in their vestments according to their kindreds. And so just lots of little details here that we can sort of pass over. Ooh, that was bad. And they offered the Passover for all of them of the captivity and for their brethren, the priests. And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days, making merry before the Lord. I don't think these people were very religious. You know, I don't think it was like, all right, everybody, it's time for worship time. Let's all, okay, you want just to get all kind of Pentecostal with us? I think it was a party. I think they were, like, making merry. Like, it was just... I mean, I would love to hang out with most of the people who listen to us and who do shows. And I would love to just hang out and just chill and just talk about faith. You know, wouldn't that be fun? Not just like, all right, we got to pretend like we're feeling the Holy Spirit goose pimple. Oh, brother. Oh, everybody lay your hands on Brother Buford over here. We need to pop that Holy Ghost pimple over there. Now just in the spirit, I just want you to take your hands around that and squeeze. Squeeze, brother, squeeze. Sorry, am I grossing you out?
No.
Do you want to read so I can collect myself?
Just need to control my laughter.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
All right, let's go forward into chapter 8, skipping through. So, Esdras, the son of Saras. There's this guy named Esdras, okay? And they like tell you every
single... sounds like sorry ass.
Sarias, darn it.
Psoriasis.
Stop. Why does everybody call me that? Sorry. I am Esdra, son of Sarias. Shut up! I mean, literally, they tell us, like, every single dad of him. But it is Esdra. I mean, we are reading Esdra, so there might be a reason why we find out that his dad's name was Sarias. The son of Azarias.
Okay, you're going to have to read. You're making
son of Helchia. Son of Salem. Son of Saduk. Son of Achitab. Guys, anybody out there pregnant? Having a baby? Expecting? Write these down. You might want to choose one of these to name your child. Mm-hmm. Son of Azias. Son of Merimoth. Son of Zarias. Son of Savias.
That's like more of like a fancy Zarias.
Son of I saved your ass. Son of Bokass. The son of Abisum.
I saved your ass. Son of
Phinehas. Okay, I might have mispronounced that too.
Did you make that one up?
Maybe. The son of Aaron, the chief priest. Okay, so basically they're saying that Esdra was great, 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 great grandson of Aaron. Okay?
Just all these asses. It's
this Esdra, and I think it's not pronounced Esdras. It's pronounced Esdra. We pretty much nailed that last time. He went up from Babylon as a scribe, being very ready in the law of Moses. What does that mean, being very ready? Who am I ready in the law?
He was like a real Pharisee.
Ooh, I'm ready. I'm ready to persecute the Christians. Paul was very ready.
He was just real.
No, but this is before the Christians. This is back when it was... This is
okay, really, okay. Real thing. Real kind. Talk. Real kind.
So the king did give him honor. He found grace in the sight of all his requests. So there went up with him also children of Israel, all these different guys, ministers of the temple. In the seventh year of the reign of Artaxerxes, in the fifth month, this was the king's seventh year, for they went from Babylon on the first day of the first month and came to Jerusalem according to the prosperous journey which the Lord gave them. For Esdras, you want to read a little bit? Are you reading too much?
For Esdras had a very great skill, so that he omitted nothing of the law and commandments of the Lord, but taught all Israel the ordinances and judgments. Now the copy of the commission, which was written from Artaxerxes the king, and came to Esdras the priest and reader of the law of the Lord, is this that followeth. King Artaxerxes unto Esdras, the priest and reader of the law of the Lord, sendeth greeting. Having determined to deal graciously, I have given order that such of the nation of the Jews and of the priests and the Levites being within our realm as are willing and desirous should go with thee to Jerusalem.
I'll read a couple. And so this is the letter from Artaxerxes to Esdras. As many, therefore, as have a mind thereunto, let them depart with thee, as it hath seemed good for both to me and my seven friends, the counselors, that they may look unto the affairs of Judea and Jerusalem agreeably to that which is in the law of the Lord, and carry the gifts unto the Lord of Israel to Jerusalem, which I and my friends have vowed, and all the gold and silver that is in the country of Babylon can be found to the Lord in Jerusalem. with that also which is given of the people for the temple of the Lord their God at Jerusalem, and that silver and gold may be collected for bullocks, rams, lambs, and things thereunto appertaining, to the end that they may offer sacrifices unto the Lord upon the altar of the Lord their God, which is in Jerusalem.
And whatsoever thou and thy brethren will do with the silver and gold that do according to the will of thy God, and the holy vessels of the Lord which are given thee for the use of the temple of thy God, which is in Jerusalem, thou shalt set before thy God in Jerusalem. And whatsoever thing else thou shalt remember for the use of the temple of thy God, thou shalt give it out of the king's treasury.
And I, King Artaxerxes, have also commanded the keepers of the treasuries of Syria and Phoenicia, that whatsoever Ezra, the priest, and the reader of the law of the Most High God shall send for, they should give it to him with speed, and cocaine, and pot. No, that's not what he meant. To the sum of 100 talents of silver, likewise, also of wheat, even to 100 quarters, and whatever that is, CRS. It's some kind of a measuring term of wheat. And 100 pieces of wine. Pieces of wine? And other things in abundance. Let all things be performed after the law of God diligently unto the Most High God, that wrath come not upon the kingdom of the king and his sons. Remember that, why are they being so nice to the Jews? Can anybody tell me this? Like, why? They didn't just let them rebuild the temple and the wall. They're, like, building it for them. Anybody remember? HRC says it sounds better when she says it. I agree. That's why she's here. Why? Okay, I'm going to let her read again, but can anybody tell me why these guys are so, like, diligent to let everything get back to where it was? For the sake of their kingdom of Babylon and Syria and everything. Maybe you can think. Do you want to read again?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Let all things be performed after the law of God diligently unto the Most High God, that wrath come not upon the kingdom of the king and his sons. I command you also that ye require no tax, nor any other imposition, of any of the priests or Levites or holy singers or portals or ministers of the temple, or of any that have doings in this temple, and that no man have authority to impose anything upon them. And thou, Ezra, according to the wisdom of God, ordain judges and justices, that they may judge in all Syria and Phinehas all those that know the law of thy God. And those that know it not shall teach.
No. Those that know it not, thou shalt teach.
Oh, those that know it not, thou shalt teach.
It's okay. It's a screen and she's like squinting her eyes to try to see far away. I'm
sorry. Oh, I see.
Yeah, I can make the text bigger. But it's basically saying that those that don't know the law, you will teach them the law. Because Ezra was, he's the great-grandson of Aaron, apparently. So, okay.
And whoever shall transgress the law of thy God and of the king shall be punished diligently, whether it be by death or by other punishment, by penalty of money or by imprisonment.
Yep, that's how we run things around here too, right? Sorry, yeah, son, so you transgressed the law. Sorry, kid. Nope, no mercy.
I have to punish you diligently. Hillary, you're going to prison.
Yeah, thank you, Adam Greenhow. I spelled Apocrypha wrong. I'm sorry. I know. It was the auto spell mistake. It's just because Facebook keeps closing itself, so I didn't even write the full title in there. But we're reading this because we want to know what it says in there. We're not really necessarily saying this is how we direct things. Okay. Then Ezra the scribe. Blessed be the only Lord God of my fathers, who has put these things into the heart of the king to glorify his house that is in Jerusalem, and has honored me in the sight of the king and his counselors, all of his friends and nobles. Therefore was I encouraged by the help of the Lord my God, and gathered together men of Israel to go up with me. And then he lists all of these families and several dignities that went up with me from Babylon in the reign of King Artaxerxes. Who wants to list 50 names now? Anybody?
Let's just call it...
Who can do it really fast? Who can name every single name?
Name soup.
Here we go, guys. You ready for some name soup? Gershon, Ithamar, Gamaliel, David, Lettuce. Sechanias, Pharez, Zacharias, Panath, Moab, Elionias, Zarias. Jesus, Adin, Good, Obeth, Jonathan, Elam, Josias, Gothalias, Zaphathias, Darius, Michael, Joab, Abadias, Jezlus, Azaliah, Moss, Bulbai, Zacharias, Esther,
shame
on your ass, Adonakim, Bago, Uthi, Istalkulus, Theras, Levites. Okay, sorry. When I had found there none of the priests and Levites. This is to wake people up
people
who are sleeping.
Get, like, yeah. Holy,
I know, it's...
Holy
look,
laughter, because it's hard. So ridiculous.
Yeah, it's not easy to read through all this, guys. I know. It's not easy. You know, we only
it
have maybe
like
a few people that are going to be interested
in
to hear this.
When you say it.
You have to drink a lot of coffee to get... To even drink. Can you give me some more coffee? Because I love you.
Great, thanks.
Would you mind doing it?
More coffee,
gummy. Thanks. Okay. There's still a little bit of coffee over there. We need it. I would get it if I could, but we're, like, sort of stuck here. We might have to remodel this desk, you know? If, like, if we have people come, they're going to feel cramped, like sitting
it's
here.
It's a little bit too big. It needs to be a little bit smaller.
Well, what if we moved it there, and then we would have that space there, and then we just put the couch over there? What do you think? Want to try that?
Sure.
Maybe we could try that. Just anytime somebody opens the door, they would see everything, but whatever. We are in a room that's literally shaped like, it's like a pyramid without a capstone. Okay, I can handle the show, but I'll miss you, honey. All right, do we need to play some songs for a second? I think we could. We could technically do it. Well, guys, I know we've been reading the Bible for a long time, but it's time for us. It's time to get back into a little bit of rest. Just consider about what you've been through in your life up until today. Where has the Lord brought you through? Now, I want you to think about that. Think about how fortunate we all are to just still be here, to still be fighting the battles. Now, cheers to you guys listening right now. Ooh, that is some strong coffee. Ooh. Okay, I'm gonna just blaze through this. You know, like, when you go to school, it's not always easy, it's not always fun, but you want to achieve that degree. You want to be a master of something. That is how you should look at podcasting and listening to these transmissions. It's really about giving and passing on something that you didn't have before. Okay? So, isn't this speech just well said? It's just something you just never knew it before and now you've got it. Where did this music even come from? And that's why I really appreciate the people that are around us a lot. I really do. I really thank God for you. I thank the Lord for you, brothers. And I know that it's late. And if I can see a shaky hand back there, if I see anybody back there who's ready to fight the spirit wars, who out there is ready to fight in the spiritual wars? Let me see a show of hands. Like most people today that you meet, they're not ready to fight. They're afraid. They're afraid to fight spiritual wars, man. It's like spiritual wars. What's that? That sounds scary. And it is scary because it's real. these Bibles, these words that we're reading, these ancient historical books, these are not fiction. These are, some of them might not be completely accurate. They may have been misused, but they're for you today to know how to connect with God in truth, in reality, not just in Holy Spirit goosebumps. But I want you guys to get ready for Holy Spirit goosebump. Ready? Get ready, guys.
Yeah. Get in the spirit, guys.
All you really need, and I, you know what, this music does more for me than most worship music does, because I don't need to have a rock band to feel Holy Spirit. I don't usually, rock music doesn't do a whole lot for me. I feel kind of awkward. It's about reality, and it's about, this is the phone that's loud. I knew there was another phone in here. Why? Okay, sorry, I had you muted, honey. Okay,
you want to say it one more time?
Can you tell people why you feel awkward with rock music?
You have to speak to the microphone.
Can you tell people why you feel awkward with the rock music? I think that's,
I feel awkward with rock music because it's very much about that performance. It's about trying to please a crowd, and it's very seldom that you hear rock music direct someone to God. It's directing you into that music.
So you're saying that there's a lot of idolatry and altars in the rock music.
Well, yeah, obviously. Yeah. I mean, don't you feel that way when you go to a worship concert and it's like, it might be about God and it might be about angels, but it's like that sense of performance, it's very distracting for me. And I love music. I mean, all music is a performance. Even music that's written in solitude. But the true, what God is really after is the you in private that isn't doing anything for anyone else to see. It's just nothing between you and God. It's just naked you in his presence. Okay, that's where he feels your heart worshiping him, not like where you're finally at some big old church and now you can kneel and shake and barf and roll around and make
bark
weird
like a dog.
Barnyard music, animal sounds. It's the real you with God. And that's why I really appreciate the mystics, because yes, you use your imagination sometimes. Yes, you're almost schizophrenically crazy, like hearing voices, but they're not voices telling you to start scratching yourself or cutting yourself or jumping off a building or say bad words or perform lewd acts. It's an impression of the Holy Spirit to bring you into union and oneness with him, just like when you're with your favorite person in the whole planet and you're just enjoying the day with them.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like that. It's nothing, you know, and sometimes you, and there's ups and downs too. It's, you're able to express how you feel truly, not, oh, well, honey, I'm home from work and, oh, gee, golly, garlison, so just check me out, honey. I just did my thing. And, oh, let me just get off.
Or you're like, you can't enjoy your life unless you have, like, that praise or that, like, glory. Like, so you're not really, like, in the moment.
Well, honey, today at work, you should have seen me. I was just so amazing. Oh, boy. But you never get to see, like, how I am when I'm not, like, full of glory and victory. So that's why it's... Mm-hmm. But you know what? We should still get dressed up, go out, have a date, take time off, you know, hire a babysitter, do those things that allow you to just focus on each other and just have a good time. To me, that's better than all the worship services that you usually find in church,
mm-hmm. is like, go, and I'm not saying you have to have a date with God or whatever, but it's a similar thing. Like, you set aside time for each other. Like, we've been super busy. We're burning the candle at both ends. And I still want to thank everybody on Patreon who's helped us, because we've been able to get an office and, you know, these microphones, and it's been a really big blessing. And we might have just, I think the security's going to kick us out in a minute. Sometimes they let us stay a little later, but, you know, we're in a commercial office here doing this. Hey, Phoebe. Rock music is rebellion. They cast spells. Wow. On the master copies. Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's rock music itself that's the devil. It's just the fact that, yes, there could be spells cast. Cool, we're actually connecting with Europe. That's why it's great to do these late night shows sometimes. All right, let's just try to finish this chapter at least, and then we shall cease blabbing. Cease blabbing and know that I am God, saith the Lord. So we got through all the names. Commanded them that they should speak unto Daddius and to his brethren. I'm going to have our kids call me that. Daddius.
How about Daddy-o?
Daddy-o has been... My sister uses that too much. I don't know if I'm going to be Daddy-o. Daddius. You shall call me Daddius Papasus.
Don't make me Marius, Daddius. Don't make Daddius Marius.
That is right.
And then you're going to say, you just shut your bratty ass.
Bratius, bratty ass, you shall sit down and be silent. All right, so the servants of the temple whom David had ordained, the principal men of the service of the Levites, to wit, the servants of the temple, 220, catalog of those names that were showed. So this is like a catalog. It's like, no need to read the catalog of all the names, but, you know, that's what that was. And there I vowed a fast unto the young men before our Lord, to desire of him a prosperous journey, both for us and them that were with us, for our children and for the cattle. For I was ashamed to ask the king footmen, horsemen, and conduct for safeguard against our adversaries. For we had said unto the king that the power of the Lord our God should be with them that seek him, to support them in all ways. And again we besought our Lord as touching these things, and found him favorable unto us. Isn't that interesting? He was like, we don't need, you know, earthly kings to do this, but I mean, it's still like there was a military. Trust me, these guys knew how to. They were building the wall with a sword in one hand and a tool in the other hand. And again, we besought our Lord as touching these things and found a favor. Okay, I separated 12 of the chief priests, Ezebrius, Asanias. I weighed them the gold, the silver. Okay, so we don't need to read exactly how much they weighed and all the little details of what they weighed. More catalogs, guys. It's fun stuff. You know, you could just check them out if you want.
I want to hear how much every single thing weighed.
Okay, 20 golden vessels, 12 vessels of brass, even a fine brass. But we need to turn up the counting the stuff music. All right, children. Now we're going to read.
I'm going to put on my glasses.
650 talents of silver vessels of 100 talents, and 100 talents of gold, and 20 golden vessels, and... Okay, we're going to skip this, guys. We don't need to read all this. I said unto them, both ye are holy unto the Lord, and these vessels are holy. The gold and silver is a vow unto the Lord of our fathers. But listen, we're going to enter into the New Jerusalem. It's going to be made out of gold, guys. It's going to be a big deal. We're trying to read some word of God. And we're just being shitty.
We need to hear about how much everything weighs.
You want to hear about how much everything weighs?
Every single thing in the whole world.
Why, hello there, temple. Wait, cue the weigh music. Have you lost weight recently, temple? Well, looking spiffy there. It's like people that totally don't get it. They're like trying to read it. We don't... Totally. I'm just going to be honest. Like, I don't know everything that's in this book. I've been meaning to read it for a long time. But I know the Bible. I know the outline, and I know the meat of the Bible, and I know a lot of revelation based off the Bible.
you know, and people come up to me and they ask deep questions, like, how can I know if I have a demon or not? And wow, that's a really deep question. We can actually do a show about that sometime. That's a good thing. I mean, and it's not necessarily are you possessed by a demon, but is there...
What's stealing your peace?
Right. Are you leaving the door unlocked where demons can enter in and steal from you your peace or, you know, your self-discipline, for example? A lot of people can't even work. They can't. They don't have the ability to maintain a simple work schedule because they don't have any discipline. And why not? Well, look and find out what stole your peace. And maybe you've been through something in your life and you need healing, and maybe that's a time, a process, but you have to find out if it's a demon, if it's something where you've done everything possibly that you can possibly do. There's always the possibility that there is a demonic thing also.
You've submitted to.
Right. And you have to watch where you've given up your will in some area. Renee Digis, is a blessing to hear the word from you. Thank you. Bless you, Renee. We're reading the Apocrypha. So thank you for joining us today. And we're going to read a little more. A little bit more. We're reaching out to people in Europe.
If you're worried that you have a demon, then maybe it's a good sign that you have something to worry about.
I mean, if you if you're worried about it, the thing is, like, if you have, that's the thing, is like, how does it even work? You can be hindered by a demon and not necessarily possessed by a demon. You know what I mean?
You know the difference?
Yeah, yeah. You can have, like, a demon on your back, but it doesn't mean that you've totally given yourself over to it.
Usually believers don't have demonic possession. They have demonic hindrance. But yes, for people in the world, there is demonic possession, and it's not a pretty thing to see. And by overuse of narcotics, if you have a proclivity to engage in any sort of just satisfying the flesh and you can't control it and you just give way, what demons do is they're incorporeal spirits that they maintain that lust of something. It could be overeating or over drinking or frivolous sexual activities or pornography or even just this kind of restlessness, or it could be laziness, or it could, I mean, there's so many things that it could be, and all of us struggle with some of those things at some point. But if you totally lose control, like completely, you should pray and find out, you know, if there is something that that is possessing you. It doesn't always mean that's what it is, but there's a lot of teaching on this. The Catholic Church, since we're dwelling on the Apocrypha, they are meeting right now, as of the last 48 hours, and they're convening to deal with an uptick in demonic possession and the need for exorcism. I believe that the most dangerous kind of evil spirits that you can have is religious demons and demons of pride that are very dangerous and very difficult to detect. And I've dealt with that in my own personal life and with people that aren't willing to deal with it. And that is almost like the worst thing, is that narcissistic, where it's like very deep pride and evil, but it's masked by, oh, I'm false so humility. Good. Yes. And it's way worse and more dangerous than just one of those simple, like, flesh demons. Deceptive. Or, like, yeah, very deceptive. And it has to do, a lot of it has to do with control and manipulation of others as well. It's interesting. It's an interesting topic.
Counterfeitism.
But it does fit, because think about it. We're talking about, like, they took all the treasures away from Jerusalem, and now they're bringing them back. Why? Because it's like when the enemy steals all that stuff and he keeps it, and then he starts making fun of God, and they're partying with the holy golden dishes and everything. That night was when the Medes and the Persians overtook Babylon. And they were like, whoa, we are not going to mess with this God. These people are allowed to go back to Israel. We don't want to lose our kingdom like Babylon lost their kingdom. well, of course, they replaced Babylon, but this is Medo-Persia. This is the next major civilization. And do you know which one was after them?
No.
Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar had that dream. We're going to backtrack or forward track or whatever to Daniel chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar had the dream of the statue of gold. Remember I read it to you?
Mm-hmm.
See what she puts up with, Bible studies from her husband. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of a statue and the head was of gold. And so Daniel said, you are the head of gold. And then every following body part was a kingdom. So the chest was of silver and that was Medo-Persia, I think, right? And then the stomach was Greece. And then the legs were Rome. And then in the last one is pretty much what we're in right now, or what is about to arise. The last kingdom of man will be destroyed by the coming of Christ, and a rock from the sky, a mountain from the sky that will destroy it and overtake the whole earth. Hey, Mike Kretmar, good to see you, man. Maritime law. Interesting. An ancient form of deviling. I want to know about that. That's fascinating. I need to learn more about maritime law. Maybe we can do a show about that sometime and learn. Phoebe says she connects to God through rock music sometimes. Hey, to each their own. There was a lot of good old family rock music that actually
Muse
wasn't that bad.
Pretty good.
Yeah, Muse had their day.
I gotta admit, they had a really good concert.
Well, they actually were inspired by InfoWars for a while, and then they went back into, like, you better not talk about that, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, spiritual warfare, right, amen. I also connect more on that side with that. That's really how I like to listen to rock music. It's like when you're fighting demons. You're like, let's make them bleed. All right, Scott's calling.
You want to take a call on the air?
Yeah, we can just say hi here. This is Spirit Force Central. Scott Becker coming in. Yes, sir. Our ETA right now is our, we are live on multiple platforms. Scott, over.
Are you at base?
Affirmative, Scott. We are at base. We are broadcasting at this very moment, reading some apocryphic words. Roger that. We are fifth floor, affirmative. I think we're locked down here. I don't know if you can make it down here, but I'll call you back, okay?
Alright.
Alrighty. Over that. Roger that. Spirit Force out. Okay. Thanks. Bye. That was one of our comrades. They didn't kick us out. Yes, we can finish the chapter.
Cool. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yes, amen. Mike says, when Enki fell to Mount Hermon, wow, I didn't know about that, he was the first to speak, hang from his words come down, where language comes their law. Interesting. Okay, well, anyway, jumping back forward. So you're saying Enki was one of the fallen angels, right? Because Mike Heiser talks about the Mount Hermon. Very fascinating. Anyway, we were talking about the Daniel chapter 2 prophecy and, you know, the dream interpretation. Nebuchadnezzar had Daniel prophesied or interpreted it, and the different parts of the body were different kingdoms, and the last kingdom is the Antichrist kingdom, which we're watching be exposed. It was not metal. It was partly iron and partly clay. So it's like some of it is strong and some of it is really not that strong. So it's fascinating to know this stuff and to keep that in mind as we read this. All right. So we have more kind of cataloging of, you know, the sacrificing and they delivered the king's commandments and the king's stewards. Nerpty, nerpty, nerpty. Derbly, derbly. And now these things were done. This is verse 68. The rulers came unto me and said, the nation of Israel, the princes and priests of the Levites, have not put away from them the strange people of the land, nor the pollutions of the Gentiles, the Canaanites, Hittites, Pharisites, Jebusites, Moabites, Egyptians, Edomites. For both they and their sons have married with their daughters, and the holy seed is mixed with the strange people of the land. And the great men have been partakers of this iniquity. As soon as I heard these things, I rent my clothes and the holy garment. I pulled off the hair off my head and beard. Ouch. And sat me down very sad, very heavy. So all they that were then moved at the word of God of Israel assembled unto me, while I mourned for their iniquity, and I sat full of heaviness until the evening sacrifice. Would you like to read a little bit?
Okay,
thank you. Thank you, wife.
You're welcome.
Then...
Oh, sorry.
Right.
Sorry. Did you prophesy it? You need me to actually read?
Then rising up from the fast with my clothes and the holy garment rent, and bowing my knees and stretching forth my hands unto the Lord, I said, O Lord, I am confounded and ashamed before thy face. For our sins are multiplied above our head, and our ignorances have reached up into heaven. For ever since the time of our fathers, we have been and are in great sin, even to this day. And for our sins and our fathers, we with our brethren and our kings and our priests were given up to the kings of the earth, to the sword and to the captivity, and for a prey with shame unto this day.
And now in some measure hath mercy been shewed unto us from thee, O Lord, that there should be left us a root and a name in the place of thy sanctuary, and to discover unto us a light in the house of the Lord our God, and to give us food in the time of our servitude. Yea, when we were in bondage, we were not forsaken of our Lord, but he made us gracious before the kings of Persia, so that they gave us food. Yea, and honored the temple of our Lord, and raised up the desolate Zion. They have given us a sure abiding in Jewry and Jerusalem. And now, O Lord, what shall we say, having these things? For we have transgressed thy commandments, which you gave by the hand of thy servants, the prophets, saying, that the land which you entered into possess as an heritage is a land polluted with the pollutions of the strangers of the land, and they have filled it with their uncleanness. Therefore, you will not join your daughters and your sons, or take their daughters unto your sons. So, never seek to have peace with them. Wow. That's not very Christian, but back then it was like, these were like the fallen angels things that were just like, these people were living in a kind of a wickedness that in today's society, after Christendom kind of was spread everywhere, it's been a different world. These were nations that were against Israel, against the way of life. We're not talking like ancient China even had a morality that wasn't to sacrifice their children. China is not listed here, but these ancient nations were doing things that were very against God's laws. Do you want to continue there from there? That you may be strong.
That ye may be strong and eat the good things of the land, and that ye may leave the inheritance of the land unto your children forevermore. And all that is befallen is done unto us for our wicked works and great sins. For thou, O Lord, didst make our sins light, and did give us unto such root, but we have turned back again to transgress thy law, and to mingle ourselves with the uncleanness of the nations of the land. Mightest not thou be angry with us to destroy us, till thou hast left us neither root, seed, nor name? O Lord of Israel, thou art true, for we are left a root this day.
Behold, now we are come before thee in our iniquities, for we cannot stand any longer by reason of these things before thee. As Ezra in his prayer made his confession, that was Ezra, if you guys don't know where we are, weeping and lying flat upon the ground before the temple, there gathered unto him from Jerusalem a very great multitude of men and women and children. There was great weeping among the multitude. Then Jehoiakim, son of Jeelus, one of the sons of Israel, called out and said, O Ezra, we have sinned against the Lord God. We have married strange women of the nations of the land, and now is all Israel aloft.
let us make an oath to the Lord that we will put away all our wives, which we have taken of the heathen with their children. Like as thou hast decreed, and as many as do obey the law of the Lord. That is pretty severe. Arise and put in execution, for to thee doth this matter appertain, that we will be with thee, do valiantly. So Ezra arose and took an oath of the chief of the priests and Levites of all Israel to do after these things, and so they swore. Wow, that was like really strict, man. But who knows, like, what the situation really was. It was the strange women and the heathen families that they were giving. I mean, they were, in marrying them, it's similar to what Solomon did when he married, like, way too many heathen women, and that set up this whole fall of Jerusalem, you know. So then they were taken to Babylon, now they're coming back from Babylon, and they're doing the same exact thing again, and that gets them into idolatry and all that stuff, you know. So it's similar, like, if in your life, like, if your friends are all worldly friends and you hang out with them, it's like, well, what the heck, I'll smoke some pot with you, oh sure, we'll go to a party, we'll get drunk, we'll hire some hookers or whatever, oh, we'll watch some stupid movies, and that becomes your life. And instead of, you live your life according to God's way, and that is your identity, you know. Oh, sorry, for those of us joining on Facebook, we are reading Ezra. We are now at chapter 9 of 1st Ezra in the Apocrypha, which I have wrongly spelled. We can read this chapter. It's pretty short. It's a lot of names. We're kind of skipping over the names. You want to read a few more? I'm making my wife read it because her voice is pretty.
Then Ezra, rising from the court of the temple, went to the chamber of Johanan, the son of Eliasib, and remained there, and did eat no meat nor drink water, mourning for the great iniquities of the multitude. And there was a proclamation in all Jewry and Jerusalem to them that were of the captivity, that they should be gathered together at Jerusalem.
And that whosoever met not there within 2 or 3 days, according as the elders that bear rule appointed, their cattle should be seized to the use of the temple, and himself cast out from them that were of the captivity. And in 3 days were all they of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin gathered together at Jerusalem, the 20th day of the 9th month. All the multitude sat trembling in the broad court of the temple because of the present foul weather. See, that's something you never hear in the Bible. It's like the weather was foul, so they were all like in the broad court. So it's like a huge multitude all crowded in the temple. That's interesting. Ezra arose up. He's like, you have transgressed the law in marrying strange wives, thereby to increase the sins of Israel. And now by confessing, give glory unto the Lord of our fathers. Do as well. Separate yourself from the heathen of the land, from the strange women. Then cried the whole multitude and said in a loud voice, like as thou hast spoken, so will we do. But for as much as the people are many, and it is foul weather, so we cannot stand without. And this is not a work of a day or two, seeing our sin in these things is spread far. As in, like, I got 7 children with Hilabashkaburb, the Egyptian prostitute that I married, and I don't know what to do. This was like a really serious thing that happened. That's what they were dealing with.
You need to play that music again.
Okay, honey, you go ahead and you read a little more.
Therefore, let the rulers of the multitude stay, and let all of them in our habitations that have strange wives come at the time appointed, and with them the rulers and judges of every place, till we turn away the wrath of the Lord from us for this matter. Then Jonathan, the son of Aziel, and Ezekias, the son of Theoconus, accordingly took this matter upon them, and Masalam and Livis and Sabathias helped him, and that they were of the captivity did according to all these things. And Ezra the priest chose unto him the principal men of their families, all by name. And in the first day of the 10th month, they sat together to examine the matter. So their cause that held strange wives was brought to an end in the end of the first day of the first month.
I bet you there was one guy, his wife was kind of strange, but she was still a Jew. And he's like, what about my wife? She's strange. Look at her. And she's like, shut up. Slaps him. And they're like, what are you talking about? But she talks funny. And she dresses strange. It's like, it was just a time where the country was obviously very strict about their lineage. And they talk about the priests that were come together that had strange wives. Here's all the people that had strange wives. It's a long list of names.
It's a long list.
That's it, Zamoth. Let's name like three
Zedius,
of them.
Zedius, Zazabah, Zaziel, Hiramoth, Adi, Nathius, Musius, Lachanus, Nadius, Mathanus, Sethanus, Beldenius, Manasius,
Dasher and Prancer and Rudolph. Leave. It's a lot of them. So we're skipping through here. So then the whole multitude came together with one accord in the broad place of the holy porch toward the east. 39. They spoke unto Ezra the priest. Ezra, the chief priest, brought the law unto the whole multitude from man to woman. He read in the broad court before the holy porch, and the multitude gave heed of the law. And the priest, the reader of the law, stood up upon a pulpit of wood, which was made for that purpose. And there stood up with him a bunch of names on each side. It's like a lot of names, man. Just skipping the names, dude. Except for Faldias.
Faldias.
Faldias. He done gone stood with him.
Faldias.
And then everybody stood straight up when he read the law, and the Ezra blessed the Lord God. All the people answered, Amen. And then...
because they're just like, we're tired of hearing all these
bunch
names.
More names.
I'll agree with you.
Taught the law of the Lord. So they went out, like, these guys are on either side, went to the multitudes, and they taught the law to make sure they understood it. Because by then, you know, you think about it, they came from Babylon. Like, they probably didn't remember the law very well. Like, they've been living with, like, just party animals. I mean, that's what Babylon is. It's like Party City. Didn't you see the Hanna-Barbera cartoon? It's like totally like, you know, anything you want to do. Holy cow, we didn't even look at the chat and YouTube forever and look what happened. Wow. Mike Kretmar on chemtrails, awesome. Two forms of law. Common law, constitutional law. One, the land, it's supreme law, interesting. Maritime law, interesting. Stuff from the handbook of Satan. Ooh. Excuse me. Sorry. Excuse me. BT, time travel time. Yes, ma'am. Or, sir, sorry. Pyramid 7, hey. You saw my chemtrail video. Oh. Awesome. Well,
did you make a chemtrail
angels, man.
Video?
I made lots of chemtrail videos.
Wow.
Why haven't I made a chemtrail video in so long? Maybe because they don't have them in Hawaii. That's actually weird. You know, there's no chemtrails here. Like, the airplanes that get all the way here from... they're not going to carry chemtrails with them. Nobody's going to pay to bring chemtrails to Hawaii.
Too many trade winds. Like, they blow them away too fast.
Well, but Florida has fast winds, too. And Florida's got tons of chemtrails. Anyway, it's just the money. Think about it. The weight that you would have to transport all those chemicals here... and then the companies that are making tons of money here, they're not going to want chemtrails in the sky when everything about Hawaii is the weather. In fact, I would say that almost the last thing that Hawaii really has is the weather. Because there's so much crime, there's so many drugs, there's poverty everywhere. And it's like a third world country. Most of Hawaii lives in a very stressed out state, believe me. Like, they're either partying to try to forget that, or... they're like one step away from being homeless. Everybody I work with is just like freaked out that they're not going to be able to pay their rent. It's like, or they're very rich people that are just like totally detached and separated from that. You know, the middle class is shrinking. It's a pretty crazy part of the world to live. So, and we've been talking about this the last 48 hours. We've been
really soul-searching, like, what are we doing here? And it's really, like, the only answer, because we're not on vacation here. We don't have time to go sit out by the beach. Like, today was the first time we sat by the pool, like, since, like, forever. But it's important to just maintain the standard and read the word of the law and notice, like, where have we gone off? Where have we gone astray? And then bring back. And they were weeping when they heard the law. You know, this day is holy to the Lord. Be not sorrowful, for the Lord will bring you to honor. And that's our prayer for everybody. The Lord would bring us to honor. The Levites published the things of the people, saying, this day is holy to the Lord. Be not sorrowful. Then went they on their way, everyone to eat and drink, to make merry, to give part to them that had nothing. Wow. There were a lot of them that had nothing. And to make great cheer, because they understood the words wherein they were instructed, and for the which they had been assembled. No way. We went all the way through First Ezra. No way. We did it. We read all of them. So that's it for First Ezra of the Apocrypha. Dude. Eddie is getting out his concordance to study the names. Yeah, there's a lot of names in here that are not in the Bible. I'm sure some of them are, but it's like, you can go to town with those. I don't know what the point would be to put that many names in there if this book was like a conspiracy book, you know? So, answer is John 17. Interesting. Do we want to share anything else today? Or, I mean, John 17 is a really good chapter. I know that. Honey, do you have anything on your heart you want to share? Are we
okay? Okay. We want to talk about one of those things that we learned when we talked about that thing. Honey?
Don't let him know how he really acts.
Honey? Honey? Can you bring me my sandwich? I'm hungry, honey. Stop distracting me, honey. Why did you have to be pretty in the show again? You distracted me again, honey.
These are really good words, though.
Scott's watching.
The answer is John 17. Right. Time travel. Okay, let's get trippy here, guys. So we read enough of that old stuff. Let's read some Bibles. It's late, guys. It's late here, but we've got people listening live.
Yeah.
We've got, you know, actually, is the stove still on?
Yeah, but it's on low. It's
okay. All right. Well, it looks like we won't burn down the house if it's okay. It's on low. Okay.
Sausage is waiting.
We have some sausage.
And carrot.
Some hot dog juice. We just live on hot dog juice just to survive. Honey, did you heat up the hot dog juice?
I did, and you're going to drink it afterwards.
I remember when my dad used to just make us hot dog soup, you know, and my dad would eat the hot dogs, and us kids, we'd drink the soup.
Well, that's what we're going to do for you. We're going to fix up something just like when you were a kid.
Johnny, you always made exactly what I wanted. You just always remember exactly how I was raised.
I would never not do that for you. Every time I would do it.
So, John chapter 17. So, Jesus looks up to heaven. He says, Father, the hour is come. Is that what you're talking about? Time is now? There we go.
Oh my gosh, so bad.
Thanks for writing it there.
Sorry.
You're going to make all of us yawn now.
I'm sorry.
Let's just all yawn. Oh. Man, it feels so good to yawn. Oh, you didn't yawn yet? Oh. Okay, raise your hand if you yawned.
You're gonna make everybody yawn because it's a chain reaction. Whenever you see someone yawn, you have to yawn. It's like you're like, are they gonna get more oxygen in their brain than me? I better go to
again.
See? Okay. Now I'm gonna have to yawn again.
Well, Jesus breathed on his disciples to receive the Holy Spirit, so La Concha says chemtrails everywhere. I'm sorry. Rebuke those chemtrails. Did you guys see the video of the orb erasing the chemtrail? Are you talking about that video? I posted that at some point. I think that, yeah.
Scott says, Spirit Brother 708, stop by before final destination over.
All right, so you've given the Son of Man the Son power over all flesh.
Scott says yawning over.
That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This is life eternal, that they might know that you, the only true God, that they might know you and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So this is eternal life, guys. You want eternal life? Live forever. Good night, Colin. It was all the yawns, wasn't it? Honey, you're putting them to sleep.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Over here.
I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. How did Jesus glorify the Father? Did he go around, like, with a rock band? Come on, Peter. Get those guitars ready. Hey, John, did you get the drums? Oh, Matthew, you forgot the amp again. I don't know if we're going to be glorifying the Father enough. And then he sat up and he just, like, did his, like, little praise and worship thing. Like, oh! Ooh. I mean, they sang. They did sing. But he testified. He told the truth about the Father. And yes, he did miracles for 3 years. What about the rest of the time? Was he doing miracles for those years? So live your life when God gives you time to do that. Do it. Doing the will of God.
BT says yawn.
This is not good radio, guys.
I don't know what to do. People listen.
Do you read the Bible, guys? But listen, some people told me that they fall asleep listening to Spirit Wars. So if it helps you to sleep, then that's what you need.
Yeah, it's, you don't have nightmares. You're gonna have good sleeps.
Yeah.
You get all tired, and then you go night night.
That's right. We're transmitting the word. You know, he's like, the Father's given me the word, and they have kept thy word. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I don't pray for the world, but for them which you have given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Keep them. So, that they may be one as we are one. So if you guys don't feel like you belong in the world, it's because Jesus isn't in the world, but Jesus is with those that really fight for what's right and who glorify the Father and who testify of him and who look for that city above, because we're all aliens here. None of us belong. But we're trying to get together with those guys who also don't feel like you guys done gone belong.
Come on,
guys. We're going to the New
come
Jerusalem.
Come on, somebody.
Amen. Let me hear an amen out there. Is anybody going to stop yawning enough for you can amen it? Amen it up. All right. Hallelujah. Okay. We're going to turn it off here. Wow, we made it for an hour and a half. Thank you, everybody. Blessings upon you. We love you. You have anything to say?
Bye.
Okay. Hallelujah. Remember, you are the spirit force. We're bringing forth whatever we can of the truth at all times. Amen. See you guys soon. May you always do the Father's will. Stay tuned for more coming soon. Last battle yawn, everybody. Let me hear your last battle yawn. Come on. You can do it. That's what happens when you broadcast too late at night.
One last yawn, everyone.
Yawn over.
Yawn everywhere.